This is for a bioethanol review meeting. We probably have the wrong number.
Yes. I think you do, yes.
Right. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Olaf. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Danny.
Hello, Glenn. So, Danny, you come up as Jamie Younger.
Yeah, how about that?
All right. Same person. Okay. Hey, Jeff.
It's Jeff Eckhouse just joined.
Hello.
Excuse me, Jeffrey at Cal 3 joins.
Operator?
Yes, hello?
I cannot see you on the screen.
Bear me one moment.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Nick Ashton Hart now joins.
Hello.
Nick, it's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Hello.
Which constituency are you with?
I'm part of the ICANN staff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right.
My apologies.
That's right. I'm the at-large, the director for at-large.
Oh, great, okay.
Where the whole question originated.
Yeah. Okay, I think we might still be expecting Alan Greenberg and Jeff Newman. Anyone else, Glenn, that I'm not thinking about?
Is he mailing?
I think that's about all.
Hi, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn, darling.
Oh, how are you?
It's sunny here. What can I tell you?
And we're on a call with how many dozens of people?
Not that many.
Hi.
Morning, Marilyn. No, it's supposed to be remain a small call, actually. Specifically trying to keep it from becoming more than a dozen.
Less is more, in other words.
So hope sometimes, I think that's true. Okay, well, we are still waiting for Jeff Newman and Alan Greenberg, but it's 5 minutes after, so I suggest we get going. Operator, could you start the recording, please?
Recording has begun.
All right, thanks. I will go ahead and read the roll as I see it right now. Glenn from staff, Nick Ashton Hart from staff, Olaf Nordling and Patrick Jones from staff, Jonathan Frakes from the registrars, me, Mike Rodenbaugh, and Marilyn Cade from the business constituency, Danny Younger from the NCUC, Jeff Eckhouse from the registrars, Greg Ruth from the ISPs. Have I missed anybody?
Yeah, Margie Milam.
Oh, sorry, Margie from the registrars. Do you see you in here? Okay. So agenda for today, I sent out a couple of days ago, haven't really seen too many comments. Does anybody have comments on it now or anything they'd like to add or change?
This is Jonathan, and good morning to everybody. The I guess the last version of the red line, I vetted it against the registrar's constituency, and there were some concerns that number 12, any kind of price setting, might have sort of broader implications beyond what the scope of the working group is.
Okay, so do you have some comments on the RFI, substance of the RFI itself? That's the first agenda item, so we can move right into that, unless anyone has any other comments on the agenda for today, just for time planning purposes. All right, I'll assume we'll go with this then. And Jonathan, nice segue. So your concern is with number 12 from the latest red line? Can you keep going? I think I cut you off there.
Oh, no, and sorry to jump right into it. I think my hard drive hasn't quite spun up here in the head. I get another cup of coffee in here. The concern was that there was, to kind of keep any kind of price setting out of this was the feedback that I got from within the registrar constituency on that there being a kind of minimum price established or entertained as part of this. That's a challenging one because I think Jeff Newman made a really good point that free registrations would be somewhat similar to ad grace. It would allow the same opportunity. But it's kind of a slippery slope when you get into the price, setting the prices. So if the registry were to receive or to offer something at no price, would still be up to the registrars to decide how that they would make that available to the registrants.
Well, I guess right now the question is directed towards, it's not really, it's open-ended, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Where is the minimum price, whether it's registry or registrar price?
Yeah.
I think it was intended to be price set by the registry, but for that matter, I guess it really doesn't matter. It's the registrant's perspective that matters, how much they have to pay. So, I don't know, Jonathan, I don't see much harm in asking the question as part of the RFI at this point.
Could I have to end of business to just vet that one more time and see if there's some suggested verbiage for that particular item?
I think that's certainly fine.
Thank you.
Unless anyone has any objections to that.
Hey, Mike, it's Jeff here. No, I don't have any objections to Jonathan's. We've been discussing it among the registrars. It's just, I have to tell you, it's a very sensitive issue when it even comes up that ICANN or other groups are going to discuss or mandate what a registrar business model should be with regard to how we price and what we do with our business, even if it's, this is supposed to be, a collection of facts for domain tasting and discussions of should there be or should there not be should there be any sort of cost changes or minimum registration fees or anything like that on our business model it's very sensitive to our group and don't see how it's within scope of this.
Paul Stover has joined.
Hey, Paul. Well, the reason it's relevant is because the issue has been raised that registries, it was raised by Jeff Newman, that registries could essentially give away domains for free, and therefore wouldn't that effectively be domain tasting?
Right, but here's the thing is that if a registry gives it away for free, it doesn't necessarily mean that the registrars are going to give it away for free. Registries give away price promotions all the time. Registrars don't necessarily pass that promotion along at that same price. We effectively try and make a profit. And if the registries give something away for free, it does not necessarily mean we are. So we'd like to take the registrars out of that question that on anything prohibiting or even discussing limiting our pricing.
And I've gotten some other feedback on that, so I'd like to vet it inside the registrar list. So
Mike, it's Marilyn. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
it seems to me, though, that the questionnaire is seeking
views from a widely distributed group of stakeholders on a range of various options. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yep.
Yeah, and I understand that an individual constituency or individual might have a view, but that's the whole point of the questionnaire.
That's my view on it. Do you have a question?
Well, I just was just verifying that because I think, as I understood following the work of the group, is this group is not debating the solution. It's trying to gather views on a range on both data gathering about the facts and then views on ideas of potential approaches. I'm not going to call them solutions, but call them approaches, which is, I think, a more neutral term. And then to be able later, there would be some work authorized by the GNSO Council potentially to examine further. But right now, it's just to gather data and opinions. So I just was verifying that that the question should stay in because it is a data gathering question.
It's sort of like it's not, it's Paul talking, it's sort of like it's not fair because I don't think registrars are able to really talk about pricing, especially when it comes to like making minimum thresholds and so on for pricing.
Right,
but it's not registrars that are talking about it here. It's ICANN essentially asking the question of the community, and then we can take everyone's concerns into account, everyone's responses into account when deciding on a policy later if the council decides they want to go down that road.
And Mike, I'm just going to say to Paul, if I might, you know, A, I'm not an antitrust attorney, and I'm not
correct,
a...
Correct, me either. That's why I'm hesitating even to talk about it on this call.
However, as I've said before in public, I hung around with a lot of them for a number of years. You know, I think, Paul, you're right that as a group, in industry settings, so we're not talking about, we could be talking about ISPs or telecom providers or software providers or hardware providers. As a group, they cannot get together and talk about pricing. But individually, companies can talk about their...
I'll have to talk to my attorney.
Yeah. But I don't think we should debate that here.
That's right. And you know, I'm conscious of time here. We do have a bunch of other items on the agenda. The purpose today was to see whether there are any additional concerns on the RFI that haven't been raised on the list yet. Jonathan has raised one. I think the group is willing to give Jonathan a little more time to vet that than the registrars, but the bottom line is we want to get this thing done as of today and out to staff so it can be distributed. Frankly, Jonathan, you guys have had time to kick around this issue now for several weeks, and this is the first you've raised it.
Well, this one's the challenge.
These questions have been in there since the first draft.
You're absolutely right.
So, I'm really not willing to allow any further delay after today on this. And I think I would love to hear from others in the group where they stand on this particular question and on the notion of getting this thing out today.
I mean, as it stands, we'd be fine with the term registrar removed. But, again, I'm not an antitrust attorney. And the fact that this may or may not touch into antitrust is something that,
it has nothing to do with antitrust right now because it's not registrars acting in concert to do anything.
No, of
course. ICANN doing something to get information. So antitrust is a complete red herring at this point.
Oh, no, that's very true. The concern would be that somebody come back through and question the integrity of the data because it might touch in that area.
Well, that's just...
But if we've agreed to close the business...
But isn't the answer to that just asking the legal counsel to scrub the language in the questionnaire?
I don't know if that is a step that's even contemplated right now. Olaf, Patrick... We hadn't thought about that before, as far as I know.
I think it may be wise. I don't think there are antitrust concerns with an open question. Of course, it may be from the registrar's perspective when they distribute it internally for their own responses. But that's a very particular aspect to it. But we can certainly, I mean, in part of the internal clearing process, Patrick, have we got legal staff available in Marina del Rey?
Legal staff is available, but I don't think that they envisioned they would have to do a clearance check on this, on the RFI questions.
No, perhaps not. Should we? Well,
it can be done, but I would suspect that that's going to cause some delay.
That's certainly nobody's goal.
Well, let's, Patrick, maybe you can ask today and see what that delay would be. I mean, obviously, it's a pretty short questionnaire, so.
Yeah, I can tell you it's probably going to be at least a week because there is a board meeting coming up and a retreat of the board, and there are actually quite a bit of obligations on the legal team this week, not to mention Dan Halloran just had a baby, and so they're short staff.
Okay. Well, board meeting and a baby. Maybe we can at least ask John whether, you know, take a quick glance at it and whether he thinks a more thorough review is needed that would cause some delay.
I will ask the question.
All right. I think that's about the best we can do and then come back to the list, but you know, obviously, we all would like to get this done so we can start talking about other things, statistics and such. Okay, any other issues with the RFI other than question 12? This actually would be question 11 and 12, Patrick, specifically, that we'd like John's quick read on. And other than the legal issues, does anybody have any other issues they want to bring up about the RFI? Okay, good. So, Patrick, I guess we'll ask you to come back to the list as soon as you have talked with John on that. Jonathan, you're going to go back to the registrars and see if you have any better suggestions that we can clean up. But I'm hearing from the group that we'd like the question the way it is. Outside of Jonathan, is there anybody else who, Jonathan and Jeff and Paul probably, anyone else that has an issue with questions 11 and 12 as they are now? Okay. All right, then let's move on to the next agenda item. I would love to hear from Olaf and Patrick or Nick, anybody, about the possibility of getting an economist to help us with our work, as was suggested by Kurt Pritz some time ago.
Hear that. All right. If there is no problem and we get a wording from Jotun or, well, that we go ahead for and prepare for posting. That's A. And B, we have considered internally within staff whether we should link the posting on the the ICANN website to a Big Pulse posting as well, actually in practice giving the respondents the opportunity to fill out a form on that one or responding as they please by email to the ICANN website, and are there any views on that? Well, perhaps first A, do we consider this that, well, provided we have it all settled, then we go ahead with posting it?
Correct, I think that's everybody's understanding. So now you're asking the further question, what about the mechanics of the posting? Do we want to leave it, do we want to provide essentially an online survey tool functionality, correct, rather than simply free-form responses?
Free-form responses would be an option, I mean, because we have considered posting it on the ICANN website and, well, foreseen that procedure, but to have an extra option for filling out a form on this Big Pulse survey tool.
Mike, it's Marilyn. I have another question about the use of the term freeform. I posted, you know, I'm merely just sharing the experience that we've had once before and asking others from the ICANN staff maybe. Some of your questions seem to lend themselves to yes, no, which is easier to tabulate. If you go for free form, and I'm not suggesting, I think you do have to go for some free form, we also have to figure out how that gets analyzed.
Right. Well, we had talked about that earlier. And
right.
The intention of this is certainly not to be a statistical survey in any way, but to be a request for information and ideas.
Exactly.
That
right.
The group will look at and analyze. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with the data. I think that will depend in large part on how much and what quality of data we get.
Well, I think we've done a lot of effort to our credit in the group so far to sort of narrow and make sure that the responses can be related to what something is, so that the answer to the question is somewhat narrow, but still an opportunity to be subjective.
Right.
So hopefully that addresses it for you, Marilyn.
And all I meant was by making sure it's under heading, so that, you know, it's like even though it's free form, people break their answers into the kinds of information that can go into sort of like gathering information into certain categories. And I'm not going to talk about questionnaire development anymore, but leave that up to others who are also expert and have experience in it.
I think we meant by free form, rather contrast to a multiple choice form.
Yeah, I mean, that's my concern with the survey tool, Olaf, is that it, in other words, I'm fine with it in general because it should make it easier for people to respond, and that's good, so long as it doesn't cut off their ability to respond, you know, as completely as they want.
As I've understood it, and here Nick is on the call, and as I've understood it from Nick, who has used it, and uses it regularly within ALAC, it lends itself very well to some degree of epic verbosity.
Well, I think we should basically allow it, since otherwise, otherwise it would be put out as a series of questions, and we'd expect people to basically retype the questions and then type in their answers and send us a document. Whereas this way, they'll type it in, and it'll all get nicely collated mechanically. It'd be a big help to us, I think, actually.
The other thing I would say is Olaf is correct, that any format of answer can be accommodated, including combinations, where certain, you know, one could say yes or no to something, and depending on which you chose, you might then be asked other questions, or asked to, you know, simply type in a narrative response, whether you said yes or no. And likewise, you can also do things like if people indicate that they're with a particular constituency, they might receive a standard set of questions everyone receives, but they might also be able to then answer additional questions specific to that community.
Which is not what we foresee, because we need to get this up and running fairly quickly. So the thought was rather to copy this straight down, to have this as an alternative avenue, but there are plenty of options, Jack.
Yep. So does anybody have any concerns with using the online questionnaire tool? Okay. So I think that we all agree that that's a good idea in general, Olaf and Nick. So let's go for it. As you mentioned, constituency-specific questions. I think we resolved last week that the constituencies would come up with those questions themselves when sending out the RFI or a notice about the RFI to their members. And then they would be responsible for collating those responses and presenting them back to this group.
No worries. I mean, obviously you can do it any way you wish. If they ultimately do come back and want us to add another questionnaire which has their questions, we can do that too.
Mike, I'm sorry, it's Marilyn. You're suggesting that the constituencies would collate answers and send them back?
Only at the specific, any additional specific questions they wanted to ask of their constituency members.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, in the online survey, that I kind of agree with what Marilyn said. You know, we need the free form thing. I got lost in the conversation. Is there going to be some free form or no free form?
They'll still be completely unrestricted in the tool.
Okay.
I ask the same question.
I agree that it opens us up to a lot of, you know, verbosity or whatever.
We all agree that's okay.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. So, Olaf, anything else on the distribution?
No,
All right, great. Then can we move on and talk about the Economist? And does staff have any sort of update for the group on that issue?
I haven't had a response from Kurt, but Patrick, you're in the corridors of power over in Marina del Rey, and may have seen Kurt. Have you got anything from him?
I have seen Kurt, and I do not have anything further on this right now.
Okay.
He knows about it, we're working on it, and I don't have an update yet.
Okay. No problem, so we'll just table that until hopefully next week and have an update then. Next item was UDRP, questions to UDRP providers. Jonathan and Christina were essentially going to come back to the group with revisions to the list that was circulated before the last call. And I've seen a couple of posts by those two. I know Christina's on vacation and won't be making a call today. Jonathan, you want to tell us kind of where you think we're at on that? Are we pretty close to final?
I think we're pretty close to final. I'd like to allow Christina the opportunity to get, to make sure that we vetted appropriately, and I wasn't aware it should be on vacation. In essence, I'd requested, just to summarize it, I'd requested that we narrow down the responses to those that, had some sort of add-delete activity so we could focus in on the actual universe of what we're talking about here to what this working group is basically looking for as opposed to the general universe of UDRP complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems... to me, I don't want to put words in Christina's mouth, but it seems like she was okay with that, but I'm still sort of digesting her comments.
Yeah, no, I just saw them this morning, too. Okay, well, I think it obviously would love to get that done and out, but given that Christina's on holiday, it seems like we still have a little bit of work to finalize that. Did anybody else in the group have questions or concerns with the list of questions to UDRP providers as it's standing now?
This is Christina. I just want to let you know I just got in.
Oh,
good.
Hey, Christina. Well, Christina, I think it's kind of still in your and Jonathan's court to finalize those questions and submit them back to the list. But it seems like we're pretty close from the email traffic between you two. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I have a feeling that it just might be a function of, email, frankly, that I think we might actually be talking about the same thing, but since we're not actually communicating verbally, we don't know that. But what I think is probably, would be helpful is if, given that I am on vacation and this is my ICANN call for the week that I've been permitted by my family, that, Jonathan, maybe if you could let me know whether some of the comments that I had posed in terms of, do we want to get to what exactly are the administrative deficiencies and then focus just on those that are really relevant, maybe if you and I could email back and forth at least until Monday when I can actually communicate regularly by phone and try and get this nailed down.
Perfect. Works for me. And enjoy your holiday.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll look to hopefully have that wrapped up by next call, if possible. All right. moving on, Danny and Paul, did you guys have any sort of update at this point? I guess, obviously, I'm not expecting you've done too much, but I want to make sure you've got the tools that you need. I think Patrick has sent around some of the information. And
are you talking about my volunteering to gather some information on the last call?
Yes.
So we had a brief email exchange, and I have my guys working on it, but it's not going to be exactly as easy as I originally thought.
Okay.
Because we only get the zone files once per day. We have not signed up for VeriSign's service, I guess, that you can get it every 10 minutes or whatever. So therefore, it's hard for us to tell when we look at the zone whether a name has been deleted or whether it's changed registrars if there's no time in between those events. So if a name gets deleted and it's not re-registered for a day, we will notice that. But if a name gets deleted and is re-registered immediately, it looks to us like it just changed registrar, like it was a transfer, by just examining the zone files.
Well, so you can go through and look at creation.
That's what just makes it a little bit more difficult, so harder. For new names that get deleted, that's easy. Names that weren't in the zone before, or basically names that weren't in the zone immediately prior to them being registered, those are easy to track and so on. But the other names that were in the zone immediately prior to being registered, those are harder to track.
And this is Danny. At my end, I took a look at what would constitute a statistically valid sample. Basically came up with a value of 1,850 entries would be statistically valid given a 3% margin of error.
I think we come up with a larger number than that.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, obviously I'm not a statistician, but I would sure like to see a larger number than that as well.
Well, the higher the numbers get, the more accurate it becomes in terms of margin of error. If you want pure 100%, then you're looking at about 16,000 records.
What we're going to do is it's going to be the whole zone, but only for like a two-week period or something like that. It won't be for a whole year or whatever. We're going to just take, you know, the most recent 2 weeks that we have and do it for that.
And, Danny, are you using the biz zone or the comm zone?
We're looking at the comm zone.
Okay.
Okay. So are you both comfortable that you have the data you need to do the studying that you want to do, or is there anything that you might need from ICANN staff or VeriSign or anybody else that would help?
I'm 90% comfortable.
All right. Thanks.
Since we're not done, I can't give a 100% answer to that question.
Sure. Okay. And Danny, you're good to go as well?
Well, that's really hard to say. Obviously, when you're going to have a lot of data on your plate to try to analyze, it just depends on the sheer number of entries that we have to look at and how much time is going to be involved in working the way through the project.
Right.
So it may require a more hands-on approach. I may have to bring in some other bodies.
Okay. Well, you certainly might be able to find other volunteers through the list if you'd like, including possibly me.
I'm told that we have a very large at-large community out there, and perhaps through Nick's assistance we could engender some participation.
Great.
Yeah, Danny, I would say please ask for what you're looking for.
Well, I'll
happily help you.
Very good. Once we get the data, we'll figure out a way of attacking it properly.
All right. Any other issues, questions, or concerns about that sort of statistical analysis that Danny and Paul have graciously volunteered to spearhead? Okay. Then we shall move on. I think the next item was VeriSign, just as there was a note in the staff issues report that VeriSign was talking to ICANN staff, so we've kind of kept that as an item for staff to update us on time to time if there is anything. Patrick, you got anything?
I've talked to Pat, and there's nothing to update at this time.
Okay.
I talked to Pat Keane
from VeriSign. I talked with him as well the other day, and you know, he certainly seems willing to help the group if we have any sort of specific questions. He does tend to believe that the data that we need is out there and public. But if we had any sort of specific requests, that he would look into them. So we'll leave it at that. And if anybody does think of anything, then let's post it to the list and have a discussion. Pat Keane is now on the email list as well. Okay, and then the last agenda item, unless anyone has other business at the end, is the country code, CCTLDs. And thanks, Patrick. We saw your posts from DNIC and from Nominet in the UK. Looks like good stuff. I know you're also going to go out to the CCNSO. Has that happened yet?
Well, that has not happened yet because at the last call, we said we would contact them once the RFI was posted.
Ah, cool.
That's true.
Now, what I did is we went ahead and looked up the 10 largest CCTLDs, and I've already made contact with some of them. URID has contacted me or responded back to my request. They do not have an add grace period in .eu, so I don't think that they have any statistics that they can provide.
Good. No, I think it actually might be useful just to document however many of the top 10 or top 20 CCTLDs have an AGP or not. I think that alone could be useful information. So.
And one of the members of the registrar constituency, I want to say it was Francesco from ASCIO, mentioned that NASC is doing something in the .pl.
Yeah, they're introducing an add grace period, and that's what they do. So I guess they wouldn't have much experience of it yet, but they will introduce it. I can't remember exactly which date this is all of. What I did as well was to check out the websites of six of the remaining biggest 10 CCTLDs, Italy, Argentina, Brazil, Switzerland, China, and the Netherlands. Doesn't seem, from what I can deduct from that, is that any of them has got an add grace period.
It depends what the definition of add grace period is, because I know, like, that name, for example, you know, you could get a six-month free dot name. You know, is that add grace period, or is that a promotional giveaway or whatever?
For add grace period, put it like this, when you check out the financial conditions, well, they have to pay up before there is an update.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you just said .cn, for example, did not have an add grace period. Did you just say that?
For as much as I could deduct, but that was a very...
Yeah, well, their registrations are like 12 cents a year.
Okay,
so,
yeah, well...
You know,
That's how you define it.
And Olaf, it's Marilyn. My understanding is .pl is going to charge 20 euros per taste. But I think that information is out there.
Marilyn, it's 20 cents.
By 20 euros.
20 euro cents.
20 euros is, $25, eh?
So it's 0.2 euros, basically.
Yeah.
Right, but it's per case, and it's got a pretty well defined, I believe. So it may be, you know, interesting to just add that into your document.
You know, if you're making a survey, you got to be, you know, you got to really know. I would guess. I mean, look at the pricing on CN, 12 cents U.S. You do the conversion for a year.
Right. Well, I think that you know, what I think what Olaf has agreed to do, at least with me, was look at the top 10 CCTLDs and try to figure out what policies they had around these issues, essentially.
I think it's a good idea.
Mike, it's Marilyn. I think it's a good idea, but you have to also look at the restrictions to registration. There are CCTLDs that do restrict who can register. And so let's just use, hypothetically, a CCTLD that requires a nexus with national presence, and they may then be charging the equivalent of 12 cents U.S., but you can't register in a TLD unless you have a local, a country-specific presence. I'm just saying,
right.
Important.
None of those are going to be in the top 10, though, of course. I would love to do a survey of all of the CCTLDs. I'm sorry?
.cn is in the top 10.
No,
I'm talking about my time of registration.
But they don't have any sort of restrictions on registration either.
I agree with that. And if you're going to look at restrictions on registrations, you got to look at when that, you know, like, I guess, .org lowers prices if you register from certain geographical regions, like Africa. So you could nearly get a free .org if you're, you know, in the Caribbean, let's say. So I mean, it's just a more complicated survey than just saying, oh, does this, you know, CCTLD have RGP period? Not RGP, an ad grace period, you know, checkbox. It's more complicated
right.
than that.
I appreciate that. I think, you know, Olaf's really just doing the initial cut through the top 10, and then we'll all have a chance to comment and add that sort of color around it, Paul.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this was a very, very quick just look through yesterday afternoon. And come on.
Right. I think it may actually be that we want to send a note out to each of those CC managers and ask them the sorts of questions that the type of questions that Patrick asked of .de and .uk.
And that's foreseen. I just wanted to make a very quick check before the call.
Appreciate it. I know we just really discussed it Monday morning, so thanks, Olaf. Okay, any other...
easy job.
Well, I know. That's why we sort of just decided to look at the top 10 first and see how difficult that was and what we found, and then we can decide if more work is warranted.
So this is Patrick again. At this point, we've heard from 3 in the top 10.
Who's the third?
Urid.
I'll see you.
Oh, yeah, Urid. Good. All right, does anybody else have questions, comments?
Yeah, this is Christina. I have a question, and I think Olaf and Patrick, you all facilitated that really helpful PowerPoint. I was just poking around and the VeriSign report for April looks like it's actually giving specific ad grace numbers on a per registrar basis.
Yes.
Are those, I wasn't clear how those ad grace numbers were reflected. I mean, they're not set out separately from what you all have provided in the sense that it's my understanding that what the PowerPoint has provided included data that didn't distinguish ad grace deletes from regular deletes because that distinction was not previously made available. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct. So the time series we have for deletes within the ad grace period is very, very short.
Okay. Do you anticipate, and if you're not, would you, updating the PowerPoint to reflect that ad grace information or at least maybe starting a new one?
It's rather starting a new one, but now we is that, I think it runs from the beginning of the year, isn't it so, Patrick?
Yes, the PowerPoint would be from January to April.
Okay.
That's the data that's publicly available.
All right.
Okay.
I personally think that would be helpful. I don't know what others on the call think.
I think it would be helpful, and then we can keep tracking it over the next several months as well. Of course, it would be great if we had data prior to that, and we need to think about whether we can get that.
Good. But all right, we're talking here about deletes within the ad grace period, and well, just plot the curve on those.
Okay. Well, we still have 15 more minutes, possibly, if we need them. Does anybody have any other business questions, concerns about any of the topics, or feel that there are some any other specific topics that we ought to look into?
I apologize since I came in late. Well, is there someone, if the IPC were interested in perhaps having ICANN make available its constituency-specific questions, is there a point person that I should get in touch with about that?
Are you saying you make available the questions that you want to send out to your constituency?
Correct.
And by make available, you mean publicize those more broadly than to your constituency?
Or even, you know, make them, my understanding is we're going with an online form, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to have ours be available as well online through the ICANN.
Oh, yeah, Nick did mention that that was a possibility, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you could if you wished, actually, you know, if there's a question saying, you know, what constituency or community do you come from, and they said we come from yours, we could actually ensure that there was an extra set of questions specifically for them.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't want to pick up everybody's call. Nick, can I just, I'll just reach out to you directly offline.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Anybody else?
Are you still freeform, Mike? This is Jonathan. There's a domain conference this coming week in Seattle, the Domain Roundtable Conference,
mm-hmm.
where there is, you know, probably going to be some domainers who may want to offer some feedback to the RFI if we have it completed.
Well, that certainly was the goal, to have it completed actually after this call. I think we've given through the end of today to finalize it. But I believe that, you know, everyone in the group considers it essentially done, except for the registrar reps who have one open issue. But bottom line, Jonathan, it should be ready, at least in a very close to final draft form, to circulate and take comments on next week.
And so when would this be available online for people to comment, would be the question. Is that a reasonably accomplishable time frame?
It is hopefully so, unless we have added complications here. But, well, what do you say, Patrick? If we get it approved your today, I mean, with all the comments and things, and it seems like it's we're up and running, we should be able to have it posted by at least Friday.
Okay.
I guess. So, well, now I've got a question. Is Nick still on board here?
I am.
Yeah. Time, I have no experience myself with this big pulse, but what would you foresee in order to get something up on their website?
I'm sure that can be done. I'll work with Ralph. Once I get the final questions, I'll work with Ralph to get it all set up. And
okay.
Then you and I can work together to provide the working group the ability to run through it and you know, try it out, test it out, to make sure that it works for them, and we just link to it, really.
Yeah, I mean, does it call?
Test it out if everybody's happy with that.
Well, whatever pace you're working with is okay. You know, I'd hate to introduce confusion or delay to the process. What I'd hope to do is, you know, even if there's just a URL that might reference where people can go to do comment that can be distributed there or discussed, I think it would benefit the efforts of the group to, you know, get feedback from that community.
You mentioned this was taking place next week.
It starts, I think it's Monday through Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, we foresee, if everything goes to plan, to have it up and running by the end of the week. Yeah?
Okay. Right.
And now it's more a question of how do we sensibly approach them, but maybe you've got all the leads in that department.
This is Patrick. I just have a question, and it's aimed at Christina. When you posted the pro survey on that you used Big Pulse, you didn't need to get ICANN General Counsel approval to do that, correct? You guys just went ahead.
I don't know the answer to that because I was not involved in the actual mechanics of it. So if there was any approval, it would have been handled through Liz. I mean, I think he was aware of it, but I don't know. I know that I was not involved in getting approval from him or anything like that.
Patrick, it's Marilyn. You might ask Glenn, but I've been under the impression for some time that public postings do have an internal review process.
Oh, no, that's true, but that survey was not on the ICANN website, and it was posted by a link, but just trying to reduce delays, and if we are relying on some potential advice from general counsel, it may not come as fast as you guys want.
I mean, and I would say that based on the pro experience, that we definitely should have it available for testing by members of this group, just to make sure that there's nothing that kind of no one really thought about while we were working on it that becomes clear while you're completing it. For example, in the pro working group, and I don't think we're doing anything like that, is you had to identify what country you were from, and the country menu that was used was not complete, and there were some issues and concerns about were we trying to exclude respondents from particular countries, et cetera, which was not the case, but you know, issues.
At the same time, I mean, if it calls for testing, and we don't want to delay the posting of it, I mean, there's still the option that we do post it on the ICANN website for responses in the traditional way, let's say, and then add this link later. I hope that would be doable rather than delaying the posting because of the need of testing of the big part.
Sorry to interrupt. I have to leave the call now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
And you could just kind of put it out for, you know, one day. Everybody gets an email saying it's up for testing. If you want to test it, you have 24 hours. You don't, you know, if you do it afterwards, to that.
Well, we'll advance as quickly as we can and hopefully get it up and running by Friday, like Robinson Crusoe.
I actually have something that wasn't clear from my notes. Are we asking people to provide specific identifying information for verification purposes, even if that information is not released?
Not according to, well, we don't ask any more questions than are in the RFI.
All right. So is there any mechanism to keep track of gaming?
Well,
that's a good point.
Well,
this is Danny. Maybe I could chime in here.
Sure, absolutely.
Over the course of the last couple of days, I actually took a look at ICANN's public comment periods, trying to evaluate how many comments were actually sent through on anything generally. By and large, we aren't getting any more than 3 or 4 comments to any open public comment period, with the exception of blockbusters like XXX. I don't think you're going to have gaming just based on experience.
Danny, it's Marilyn. That's the current experience, but you will recall that during the responses to the green paper, 121 of the fine 100 responses came from one person at the suggestion of a particular entity.
At the same time, I mean, we're looking here for qualitative input rather than quantitative. I mean, it's not a polling exercise in the sense that 90% think that this is a bloody good idea and 10% are indifferent to it. It's more like we want to have the ideas on the table.
Right.
Olaf, the difference might be that what the other party did was submit a standard document with just different names, and maybe the way you're addressing this would rule that out, because every request, every response is going to be read, and so you, of course, would see that 10 responses or 20 are just copies with a different submitter's name on them.
Well, it has happened before, yes, but and then since we're looking for qualitative input, I mean, if they're very repetitive, okay, you can make a note of that, but it's not like the validity of the view is necessarily connected to the number of respondents that have said exactly the same.
There are also some tools built in to the polling system itself, which help you see some of the obvious things like responses from the same IP address or subnet. I'm just going to go look now at...
And again, I think we should all just remember that this is not, again, not really intended to be statistically significant in any way. So if we simply see a lot of very similar responses, we'll realize that as we're looking through the data.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just wasn't, like I said, I just wasn't sure where we had ended up on this. I wanted to make sure that I was clear when I reported back to my constituency.
Well, I have a question that goes right to the heart of this is, you know, what personally identifiable information is collected as part of this? Like, does a person identify who they are? Like, if they're...
We have not asked that. We've only asked for the category that they would put themselves in, or categories that they would put themselves in.
The IPC questions will ask for specific identifying information.
And other constituencies, of course, are free to do that as well.
Now, but don't you have to ask people to identify themselves, but then maybe ask the staff to strip off the, you know, what we did in the previous Who Is questionnaire was you had to identify who you were, but that data was stripped off by the ICANN staff.
That's what we did in the pro-working group.
Yeah.
We can certainly do that in the tools.
Okay. I would be completely in favor of that. Sorry that we hadn't raised that issue until now, but...
Well, I thought it had been covered, but I went back through other...
Yeah, I actually thought it had been. I thought we had covered it in one of the first calls, too, but I can't remember how we came out on it, so it's no matter. Does anybody have any objections to including that question at the head of the RFI? Of course, we would never see that information later, but ICANN staff will have it. Okay.
Well, doesn't this map out in two different ways? If we have the sort of traditional posting where we would get sort of an email answer, and that would be to a certain degree one identification.
Right.
But it pertains very much to the big pulse, where, all right, you respond otherwise anonymously.
Well,
so,
there's going to be those that's actually better for, and there's going to be those that might want to stand up and say, hey, this is who I am, and this is where I'm
from. The fact is, it's not going to be available to us, and it's not going to be mandatory, so people can essentially skip through the question if they don't want to answer it.
Okay.
Olaf, one last question. How long will the comment period be open for?
I think our suggestion in the, as it runs right now, was 15th of September. Nobody has objected to it, so I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Excellent, we're right on the hour. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to bring up? Otherwise, we will reconvene next week.
Mike, it's Jeff. Just one question. Just to make sure, can you send out an updated timeline sometime during this week?
Yes.
What the schedule is? That would be great.
In fact, I would ask Olaf to include that in the draft, in the meeting notes from today.
Timeline for...
an updated timeline of, you know, release, you know, what the schedule is, like X date release RFI, closed by this date, you know, so, sort of something so,
right.
Everyone, so so we can pass to our constituencies what we believe the timeline is going to be.
Yeah, that's fine. For and I just wondered if you wanted timelines on a number of other things which we haven't decided upon, like the distribution of the UDRP provider questionnaire and responses to that. So, but this is rather the timeline for the RFI.
Yeah, exactly, for the RFI. And if we don't have the information, we could always write TBD on it, you know. It's just to get a general sense, and nobody's going to hold anyone to any dates, just a general guideline of where what we're aiming for.
And we're still coming to that. Of course, we have to, we have now set this 15th of September, counting on the GNSCO Council agreeing to it, haven't we? Because there's a GNSO Council meeting tomorrow, and Mike, you promised to bring it up.
Correct.
That's the planning we're... So, unless we have any hiccups and they vehemently protest against it from the Council, well, 15 September is the foreseen deadline for comment.
Right. I think we agreed was really reasonable given the summer holidays in Europe and elsewhere.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds great, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.